Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Simple question, said to disciples, not unbelievers. He spoke this to disciples, and they said, "We have not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." That's the end of that verse. I just want to be the first to tell you, maybe you've grown up in a denominational church. Maybe this is the first time you've ever been to church. You've heard about Jesus as Savior. Let me be the first to tell you, there is a Holy Ghost. Their excuse was, "We haven't received because we've never heard." You're in a church, you're going to hear about the Holy Ghost, and we want you to receive. Somebody say, "The Holy Spirit has changed my life." Let's make that a present participle. See, I did remember something from high school. Now we say, "The Holy Spirit is changing my life." Don't make it a past event. Make it an everyday thing. The Holy Spirit has changed me, but the Holy Spirit is still changing me. Somebody say, "Get your hopes up." You may be seated in the house. Last session, we talked about the Spirit of God being on believers, but not being in believers. And one of the reasons that I know that there is a difference is because when you talk about what Jesus said, he said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Talking about something coming out of believers. Most people who are under the influence of demonic spirits, they are oppressed, they are not possessed. It would be very eye-opening if we could see what demon spirits people are dealing with, not at work in this room today. I know in cartoons we've gotten used to the little demon or devil sitting on one shoulder and the angel sitting on another shoulder. If we realized how true that was, that there are spirits that are not of God that are always tempting us, always trying to get us to do something contrary to God's word, it would drive more people to encounter the Holy Spirit, because where the Holy Spirit is, a demonic spirit can't be. You cannot be spirit-filled and demon-possessed at the same time. You are either full of the Holy Spirit or you are void of the Holy Spirit. We left last session talking about what comes at you. Satan comes at you to see what is in you. It's like a sponge. What you continually digest and ingest in the moments of life when you are squeezed, what is in you is going to start coming out of you. Possession is from the inside out. And we left with these two declarations. I want to be possessed by the Holy Spirit. I want God's Holy Spirit calling the shots or making the decisions in my life. If you're writing notes, write this one down. Eventually, what is internally believed will be externally expressed. You can say you believe all you want, but eventually, what you say you believe, we are going to see an external expression of that belief. If you say, "I believe in Jesus," if you say, "I believe in His Holy Spirit," we are going to begin to be able to see or hear it in your talk, see it in your daily walk, see it in your actions and reactions. Remember, the enemy every day is going to come and press your buttons. But when he presses your buttons and puts the squeeze on you, we are going to find out what we really believe and what we've always said we believe. And there is a big difference. In 2020, when COVID came to America, we found out the real faith people from the fear people. We found out the warriors from the worshipers. Why? Because we were all put in a device that was unexpected. But thanks be to God for churches like Living Way, that we did not miss a beat. We just kept preaching. We just kept worshiping. We just kept teaching. We just kept serving. We just kept loving. And I want to encourage you to fill yourself up with the Holy Spirit in such a way that when you do need it and the vice of life squeezes you, that the Spirit of God comes out of you. Because when the Spirit of God comes out of you, the Spirit of God is what's going to make the difference in your life. The Spirit of God is what's going to fight your battles for you. So here we are after a few sessions. We're going to talk about what the Holy Spirit does. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is different than the evidence of the Holy Spirit. I've always said it, and I've said it numerous times during this series. There's so many of us that get turned off by the evidence of the Spirit that we never get to have a chance to hear the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Some of us are so scared when we hear people speak in tongues. Some of us are so scared when we're standing next to somebody and we can hear them start praying in the Holy Ghost, and instead of learning about it, instead of leaning into it, we say, oh, that shit, that's too much. That's too scary. I remember what my auntie said about people like that. You know, there's denominations, Christian denominations, that teach that the power or the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is demon possession. It got quiet. You didn't know that. You know how I know that the Holy Spirit isn't demon possession? Because the Holy Spirit has never caused me to do anything that would align myself up with the enemy and the way the enemy works and the way the enemy speaks. But when I speak in the Holy Ghost, the fruits of the Spirit start showing up through my life. The gifts of the Spirit start showing up through my life. You say, well, I was speaking in tongues and it caused me to say this or to do this and it wasn't right. That wasn't the gift of the Holy Ghost. That was a different spirit. And you've got to be able to discern which spirit is which? Is it confirming God's word? Is it amening God's word? Is it pushing you to do the will of God? If it is doing those things, it is the Holy Spirit of God. Number one, the Holy Spirit, talking about the purpose now, it gives power. Somebody say power. Acts chapter 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. I'm glad he put that last point, that last place in there, because this ain't Jerusalem. This is San Antonio. This ain't Judea. This is the 210. This ain't Samaria. This is Bexar County. But when he said uttermost parts of the earth, what God was saying is yes, even in Bexar County on a Sunday morning at Living Way Church, when the Spirit of God comes on you, you are going to have power that you cannot get unless the Holy Spirit comes on you. Let's look at the order of events real quick. That was verse 8 of chapter 1. Let's go back three verses to verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, he being Jesus, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. For those of you that are newer to Living Way, or even better yet, you're newer to the things of God, and I know there's a lot of old heads in here, or mature people in here that you know what I'm talking about, but there's three distinct experiences that God wants everyone on the face of the earth to have. Number one, he wants you to receive salvation that only comes through Jesus Christ. We call it repentance. We call it getting saved. We call it accepting Jesus into your heart. That's number one. Number two, he wants every believer baptized in water in Jesus' name. Number three, he wants every believer filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Those are three distinct events that should happen in every believer. And can I just tell you that in the New Testament, there was no such thing as a believer who said yes to Jesus, followed Jesus, that had not been baptized in water, and when they had heard about the Spirit, were not baptized in the Holy Ghost. What if we treated Living Way like Jesus told them to treat the Holy Ghost? Go to Jerusalem and don't leave until you get it. What if we told you, hey, Living Way, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, come to the front, don't leave this building until you have it. It would get really tough to get people to come to Living Way, tougher than it already is. You know why most people don't wait? Because it's inconvenient. You know why most people don't see miracle signs and wonders outside of Living Way? Because the Spirit of God that is in here on Sunday does not live in them. They have not received that Spirit. And so when they show up at their job, their school, their homes, they're expecting what God did at Living Way. Can I tell you that what God does at Living Way is because of Spirit-filled believers all over this house, that when we get together on Sunday, when we get together on Wednesday, we let the Spirit flow, we let the Spirit move, and you're getting used to a presence that you don't carry. You're getting used to a presence that I carry, that someone around you carries. That's why Living Way can be dangerous, because you can feel the Spirit and get all up in your emotions and feels and get goosebumps, and it might not have anything to do with you and the Spirit of God in you. It might have to do with the Spirit of God in and on those all around you. And you get lulled into a false sense of security. Oh, I got the Spirit. Do you? Because when you cast out devils, they should leave in Jesus' name. When you lay hands on the sick, they should recover in Jesus' name. What Jesus was saying is, hey, go to Jerusalem, because when my physical body goes and ascends back into heaven, he said, you don't want to be caught on this earth saying you're a follower of Jesus Christ and not be filled with my Spirit, because everything I've called you to do, you cannot do without my Spirit. Everywhere I've called you to go, you can't go until you've been filled with my Spirit. Everything I've called you to receive, you can't receive unless you've been filled with my Spirit. So there's some of us that follow Jesus, but when Jesus ascended, we didn't go to that place and say, all right, God, fill me with your Spirit. Your body's no longer on this earth, but you have given us a free gift called the Holy Spirit. And I want that Holy Spirit to reside in me so that when I leave my house tomorrow, I'm fed of the Spirit, I'm led of the Spirit, and everything you've called me to, everything you've called me to do, everything you've called me to be and receive, it can happen, because the same Spirit that raised you from the dead now dwells on the inside of me. Somebody say it's power. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, giving you a little bit of the timeline, tells us that Jesus, in the 50 days from his resurrection to his ascension, Jesus showed himself to 500 people. And the reason I did this study is we've always said that 500 people were in the upper room, and then it got whittled down to 120. It's actually, we don't know if 500 were in the upper room. We know that 500 were told to go to the upper room, but only 120 actually go. Acts chapter 1, verse 14, they all joined together consistently in prayer. If you're going to be full of the Holy Spirit, you have to have a consistent lifestyle of prayer. Not just praying for your food, not just praying for your day, but literally warfare prayer and intercessory prayer multiple times through the day. Praying for your food is good, but it's not enough. Praying a canned prayer the first 15 seconds you open your eyes is great, but it's not enough. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you never stop praying, but it means you pray for 20 seconds at the stoplight. You pray for 1 minute in the elevator. You pray for 3 minutes on your lunch break. You pray under your breath as you're walking to the meeting. As you're walking down the halls of your high school or maybe summer school, you're praying to God, asking him to guide you. Listen, we've got to quit praying prayers that are selfish, that only include us, and we need to start saying, God, use me today. You've given me this power. Flow through me today. Bring life to somebody that's dying. Bring joy to somebody who's depressed. Bring God, Lord, all the information and revelation that somebody needs. They joined together constantly in prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. To all of those of you that might be watching today, or maybe you stumbled in here and you're part of the camp that says women can't preach. Why would God fill them with his Holy Spirit and not let them preach? Why would God have them in the upper room and give them a gift and now say, sit on that gift? No, the reason God fills women just like he fills men is because there's nothing that a man has been called to do that women cannot step into. And let all the women say amen. And let all the men married to strong women say amen. Amen. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering 120. It's going to get tight for the next 2 minutes, but that's all right. So many people, out of 500 people, 120 are filled with the Holy Ghost in the upper room. So many people missed out on the promise of the power of the Holy Ghost because they could not wait for 7 weeks. 50 days. Day one, they were good. Day two, they were good. Day three, they were good. 7 weeks. Their faith failed in 7 weeks. They got bored. Have you ever prayed a prayer of faith in January and you're bored because it hasn't come to pass in March? They were bored. They got distracted. The enemy loves to distract believers from becoming who God has called us to be. Some of them backslid. Not only did they not go and say, God, I'm ready for your spirit, they went back on who they were and what they had already confessed. I wish somebody would have been able to tell them, hold on, the Holy Spirit is coming. The Holy Spirit is a few weeks away. The Holy Spirit is a few days away. Hold on. When this Spirit comes, it's going to change everything. Well, I am here to tell you not to hold on because the Holy Spirit is coming. I am here to tell you, receive the Holy Spirit because it is here and it wants to become a part of your everyday life, wants to become a part of your everyday prayer, wants to do life with you and you with it. We want the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, worship is just a concert. Without the Holy Spirit, preaching is just a speech. Without the Holy Spirit, church services are just pep rallies. Without the Holy Spirit, tithing and giving is just philanthropy. Without the Holy Spirit, your serving is just volunteering. Without the Holy Spirit, Sunday school is just school. Without the Holy Spirit, VBS is just daycare. Without the Holy Spirit, children's and youth ministry is just an after school program. However, with the Holy Spirit, we have power to change lives and to change situation. You are a part of a Holy Ghost filled church. You are a part of a Holy Ghost fed church. You are a part of a Holy Ghost led church. When the Holy Ghost shows up, we just say, as you want, your will, not ours. We will step out of the way. Just like a month ago in the middle of worship, when Sister Gloria gave us that word and the Spirit took over this room, we had our schedule, but we crumpled up our schedule and said, God, the reason we're here is for your Spirit to be on display like it was on display. You ever go to a church? It's not your church. They sing songs, but nothing happens. They preach sermons, but nothing happens. They have programs. They have all of these teams, but nothing happens. It is a church that is void of the Holy Ghost. They talk about him like they know him, but I don't have to talk about him like he's over there. I talk about him like I've experienced him because he lives in me. There's something wrong with a church where miracles don't happen. There's something wrong with a church where the Spirit of God is not allowed to move. There's something wrong with a church that wants you to come fill their seats and fill the offering plates but doesn't open up altars. We open up altars because in the Old Testament, an altar was a place of demonstration. An altar was a place where God, I'm going to bring the sacrifice, and then God, I want you to bring your fire. And in the New Testament, he's not moving with an earthly fire. He's moving with a spiritual fire. God, my life is an altar. My life is the sacrifice. Now send your Spirit to demonstrate and bring the holy fire. He said, go and wait. He said, you were baptized in water, but by John, but now we're about to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It is power. He said, well, Pastor Brandon, what about my grandma wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost? She loved Jesus. She received Jesus. Is she in heaven? Of course she is. But my great-grandfather, when he built a house, it's a little different than when we build houses. My great-grandfather didn't have much electricity. He was doing everything with a hammer and a nail. He was doing everything with an old school saw. He was doing everything by his hand. But thanks be to God, in 2023, we have what we call power tools. Oh, I know you can get the job done with regular tools, but it's going to take you 10 times the effort and 10 times as long. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, there is a power that goes into effect. And what took one generation decades to do, God can do in 10 seconds. What it took many people to do, you could do. I wasn't even going to get here today, but the Bible says this. The Bible says if everything that Jesus did was written down in books, the earth could not contain the books. That's a lot, right? Let's go to the New Testament where it says this, greater than these works shall he do. No. Shall you do? Shall you do? Shall you do? Shall I do? If everything Jesus did could fill books that don't fill libraries, that fill the earth could not contain the books. And then he says, greater than these shall you do. There's two revelations to that scripture. Jesus, while he was on this earth, all God, all man, but could only be one place at one time. You only hear of a couple instances where Jesus sent his word to heal. Other than that, Jesus would show up where the blind man was. Jesus would show up where the demon-possessed person was. So number one, when Jesus' physical body ascends, the same spirit that did all those miracles is still alive in believers today. But guess what? We all don't hang out in the same spot. You go to your family reunion. You go to your job. You go to your school. Whereas Jesus was in one place at one time, now there are 2 billion believers scattered all over this world, casting out devils, healing the sick, doing everything that God has called us to do. So the number one reason why greater works than these shall you do is Jesus was confined to one body, all man, all God, but his spirit is given to any believer that wants it, which means his spirit can be anywhere at any time. You can be casting out a devil at work, and we can be over the hospital emptying cancer wards for Jesus all at the same time. You realize if Jesus was alive today, we'd all be at one church wherever he was preaching. Now we've got thousands of churches just in our region, tens of thousands of churches in our nation. Here's the second reason why greater works than these shall you do. Jesus did all he did in 3.5 years. I've been living for God for over 20 years. You say, well, what have you done like Jesus? Oh, I've done a lot like Jesus. But again, it's not just me. It's what you're doing for Jesus. What you're doing for Jesus. What we're doing for Jesus. What Cornerstone is doing for Jesus. What New Creation's doing for Jesus. What Summit's doing for Jesus. What all of these great, what Elevation's doing for Jesus. What Hillsong's doing for Jesus. And can I just pause right here? I usually don't name names. Can we quit all the hate on Elevation and Hillsong? And this person said this and this person did this. Remember this, they're singing songs that are bringing millions of people to Jesus. And just because a leader made a bad mistake, I'm praying for them that they be restored, and maybe they do need to be removed. But understand this, in the Old Testament, God used a jackass, and so God can use anybody, any church, anywhere, and if they're claiming Jesus, I want them on my team. Why? Because they got the Spirit. We've got the Spirit. We've got the power. Somebody say power. Man, I only got through one of these. Let me go to the next one real quick. Tyler's going to start playing. It means absolutely nothing to me, but it might help you guys. Just kidding, kind of. The Holy Spirit gives us power. Number two, the Holy Spirit teaches and reminds. This is where the purpose of the Spirit really should take hold. Because we can shout about the power, and most of us have learned, even though we talk about the evidence of speaking in tongues a lot, we talk about Holy Ghost power. And our Pentecostal background comes down, and we talk about that Holy Ghost power. And Holy Ghost power is you not just shaking and doing backflips at church. Holy Ghost power is so that you can take the message of the gospel to anywhere and everywhere, and it works every time. But now let's talk about the Holy Spirit teaches and reminds. John 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, this is Jesus talking, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. If you're having trouble understanding the Word of God, get filled with His Spirit. If you're having trouble staying focused in your 20 or 30 minutes of devotional time with God every day because it doesn't make sense, number one, get with us and we'll tell you a great translation for you to start reading. I always carry everything back to the King James Version, but I love the New Living Translation. I love the English Standard Version, the NIV. I love some of these different translations. I always go back to the KJV, but when I don't understand, before I go looking in some other translation, I say, God, what are you saying here? And the Spirit begins to teach me. Just like when you were having a little trouble in a class and you had to have some time with a private tutor, the Holy Ghost is your private tutor. The Holy Ghost is saying, this is what the Word of God says. This is what the Word of God is meaning. This is how to apply that to your life. The Holy Spirit in this, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit in verse 26 is translated to the Greek word parakletos, which translates into helper, translates into advocate and counselor. The meaning of the word parakletos also means your legal counsel. That means you were wrong and you needed an attorney's professional advice. The Holy Spirit is my legal counsel. The Holy Spirit, once it begins to move in your life, and let me just say this, move in your life uninhibited and unfiltered. You cannot say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit, but stay out of that room. You can't touch that.